Good afternoon. It's a pleasure for us here to have you back in Malta. I think we had the opportunity to meet here at the Foreign Affairs Committee back in 3 years ago. Yes. 5 years. Okay, all right. 2008. Yes, okay. It wasn't at the start of the Parliament at the time. I know that two countries, we are in continuous cooperation, especially regarding the presidency of the European Council and the trio. And it's very important that we can still work on all of the points of our priorities, to have a common set of priorities for the trio of the European Union and the presidency of the Council. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, first we're going to have Holland, and then ourselves, and then Holland and ourselves. Okay. So it's very important that we can have a continuous work so that all our priorities will be spread throughout the whole 18 months. As you might even know, that here in Malta, our priorities, mainly if you think about Malta, it's about migration. So I'm sure that throughout the delegations and throughout the working parties that meet on the secretariat level and even expert level, these issues have been have arisen among the parties, so that migration would always be on top of the European Union agenda. Together, but also with the economic growth and combating the crisis that the European Union has been passing through, especially in job creation, which is, I think, one of the topmost priorities that each and every country in the European Union has right now, especially creating jobs among the youth. And therefore, I believe that we can work together at least to try to make a difference in the European Union, to even introduce many more measures to create an economic environment that can help the European Union to achieve the EU 2020 goals, especially for economic growth. I'll review, please.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the possibility to meet with you. It's always a pleasure to be in Malta. Beautiful country, beautiful weather, beautiful people. You know that the European Councils, we are sitting next to each other with George Weller, so yes. We have the chance to comment on other people's performance, to agree or disagree. So there is a high level of trust and confidence. And it was exactly 5 years ago when I was here for the first time as the foreign minister. And it was at the same time, because we have established a very good tradition of hosting Slovakian artists to celebrate the Slovakian days in the beginning of October in the premises of the residence of the President of Malta. So we will have this concert tonight, and then there will be another tomorrow, which is something that puts us in a very privileged position, and we pay attention to this event by sending politicians from Slovakia to attend. And it's one thing that I notice with this belief is that the lovely yellow buses disappeared from your street. Mm. This was a trademark.
That was yes. It's a long, complicated story, actually.
I
don't think it's the right forum to go into it right now.
No. Yes, but that was something that I found as typical. I'm pleased to say that our bilateral relations are in very good shape. We have a regular political dialogue in both ways. One dimension is missing, which is the parliamentary dimension. There has been no parliamentary visits since 2001, and therefore I would like to encourage you to find time to meet with our parliamentarians, either here or in Bratislava, also with regard to the incoming presidency. But on the executive level, on the government's level, we have regular visits. We had a visit, state visit of your president, yes, in January this year, who was accompanied by my partner, Minister Vella. So there are regular meetings. That's very important. The world is becoming more and more difficult place. There are more questions than answers. and therefore we are both affected by the global crisis. For us, it's more the Eastern Partnership and the Ukraine as our neighbor. For you, it's more the Southern Partnership and the migration as a huge problem, which we are well aware of, and we really support the idea of a comprehensive European solution, which is based on solidarity and fair share of the responsibilities or consequences, as a matter of fact. It cannot be you, it cannot be Italy, who are exposed and who are on your own. So we will support and continue supporting all the discussions. Hopefully, we will be able to propose the measures, starting with, of course, strengthening the Frontex mission, but also working with the countries of origin of the migrants, so that you don't have to deal with the consequences. And we have sympathy, and you can count on our full solidarity. The big issue that brings us even closer together, of course, is our presidency. The fact that we are in together with Netherlands in one trio, both for Malta and for Slovakia, this is the first time to have a presidency. So we are learning. We want to make sure that it will be a successful presidency. We've started 2 years ago. We've already adopted 12 different documents in the government. They were dealing mostly with logistics, education, training of staff, and the preparation. Now we are at the stage when we are entering into the substance, into the content of the program, and we shall put together the trio program for 18 months, and we are working on that. We already had one meeting at the level of state secretaries in Bratislava in March this year. Another one was held in September in Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And the next one is scheduled to be held in February, here. Yes. So I think it's very important because it really helps us to agree on the priorities, so that there is certain continuity. And it also helps us to consult each other on logistical financial issues, because I think it's also very important nowadays that our budgets are more or less around the same size, so that we can present it to our public without being criticized that we are spending too much. We have already proposed to you, and I would like to repeat that we are ready to accept your experts, diplomats in our presidency team, so that you can see and learn from all the mistakes we are going to make. I hope there will be very few of them. And we are trying to already focus on the substance, as I said. We've already presented or put together, as we call it, 6+1 nation-specific clusters for our presidency, which are based on inputs that are coming from our ministries, from the civil society, but also from President Juncker's recommendations and from the European Council conclusions. So for us, these clusters are the energy-intensive industry sector, which is industrial policy, climate, automotive industry. The second one is digital economy cluster, and this is about economic recovery, R&D, startups. I saw so many posters about startups and new technologies.
Yes, because
here.
We had the science, like a science fair, science exhibition in Valletta.
Yes.
I think, a couple of weekends ago.
That's the future. That's what we are trying to do, and we are working very hard on exactly the same. So it's also an area for bilateral consultations on this. The third cluster is tax cluster. So that means fights against tax fraud and evasion and the cooperation between member states. The next one is social inclusion cluster, dealing with marginalized communities, fighting poverty, national Roma strategy, which is a problem for us,
exactly.
But also migration. So this is a cluster where Malta could find itself. Of course, it's an issue of your interest. Next one is cohesion cluster. So it's about socio-economic investment, review of the multi-annual financial framework, cohesion policy. Next one is water cluster. So it's the prevention against floods, and natural disasters. Water is an economic asset, water management, but also sea. So that's another issue that is important for Malta. And finally, the foreign policy cluster, which is European neighborhood policy, enlargement, Eastern Europe, Southern Partnership, which is again an issue of common interest. So we are now, these clusters are some kind of basis for our discussion. They are being discussed now, but of course we are waiting for the program of the new commission and the new parliament, because we have to reflect in the priorities of our presidency the priorities of the European Commission and the proposals coming from the new president of the European Council. And then, of course, we shall put together the program for our trio. So there is a lot of work still, but I have, I shall knock on the wood, but I have a good feeling. I think we are well on track. We are under no time pressure. I would even say ahead of schedule when it comes to number of issues that need to be addressed. So I think this is a good basis for a successful presidency.
Good. I hope so. Thank you.
It's not easy to hold the presidency these days. I was in Milan for one of the informal councils. It's, first of all, they put us in Fiat 500, which is the smallest possible car you can you think of. Yes, police was forbidden to use the lights.
The lights?
Yes, so it's a... I immediately created a slogan, excuse us, we have the presidency. So like, you know, you're the truth, the sad truth is that European agenda is not the most popular agenda. And it's the fault of the European Union itself, of course, that people lost contact with European politics. Citizens of European Union lost the ability to understand what European Union is about, and I think this is one of the biggest challenges for the new Commission, that it does not get isolated inside of the Brussels bubble, fighting between the Council and Parliament and the Commission, but being able to communicate normal issues to normal people so that they understand that European Union is good for us, because we have no doubts it is good, but we see that throughout Europe we have a rise of anti-European parties or movements, nationalistic parties, politicians who are preaching isolationism, all kinds of limits on migration, even inside of the European Union. That's very dangerous. So what I see as two biggest challenges for the new European Commission is the first one, to protect the European political model, which is based on standard political parties, which are members of the European political families, against the pressure of these non-standard anti-establishment and anti-European movements and politicians. And second, of course, to restart economic growth and to create new jobs, so that people feel that European Union is the best, the most advanced model of integration that our planet knows. And it won't be easy, but we have to succeed. Otherwise, I don't want to think about the consequences.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I agree with you that European Union politics is a bit detached from the people it represents. But history is against us, unfortunately, because Europe has a past history full of conflicts. But I think that we should look at the future with an optimistic way. Yes, Europe has to change. Brussels has to change, has to open up more and to be more close to the people, to act closely, to deal with issues that direct interest people. Speaking from a country where it was 10 years ago divided in two between the yes and no, I think we've moved quite a long way.
Yes.
Now in the European Union. And I think that when you see that our turnout for the MEP's election is over 70%, for us is low when compared to the general election. But for the European Union, I think it's quite a good result for people that believe actually in the European Union.
For me, this is more painful than the buses for you, because you know that we were at the the very last place among the EU member states with the turnout for the European Parliament.
Yeah, but I believe that even with the presidency, I think in our own countries, we can increase the level of optimism and trust in the European Union. You mentioned there are quite a lot of interesting concepts there. I like the cluster idea, and especially the focus you made on social inclusion.
Yes.
I believe that with social inclusion, it's quite a wide concept. Me, myself, here, I also chair the Malta Sports Council. It's like the authority for
yes.
the sports. And I believe that one of the tools
yes.
for social inclusion is not just education. We all focus on education, but even sports. In sports is an international language. We all speak the same language when it comes to sports.
We have just beaten Spain last night.
Congratulations. Yes, I wanted to tell you. That. Yes, it was a...
Yes. So I cannot agree more with you.
You can be proud, can be proud of this. Yeah. But what I mean is that with sports, like yes. with everything else, you can create interest from young children and young people in sports.
Absolutely.
That with sports, if you give a child an interest in sports, this child can grow up to be a better man because it gives him discipline, it gives him opportunities, it gives him social abilities to interact with other peers, and most of all, gives him skills that in the future this child can be employable.
Yes.
And give him an opportunity even to explore and exploit the whole European market.
Yes.
So this is just one idea, as one concept. We have programs like Erasmus for youth
yes.
exchange education. I think we should expand these programs even to include subjects like sports. With Sports Week, you can interact and create more awareness of what Europe is really about. This is just
yes.
a thought.
No, you are absolutely right, because the good thing is that we are bringing information technologies to schools or even to preschools. But
exactly.
the bad thing is that people don't do sports.
Exactly. I know.
Kids don't do sports.
This is
they are geniuses on computers.
We are actually have introduced now tablets for
yes.
young children in schools. Yeah. We're on a pilot project.
Yes.
And yes, even though on a personal opinion, even though I am so keen on information technology, I had my first computer in 1985 when I was 10 years old. But as a parent, I'm not really that kind of favor of having
yes.
a tablet.
No,
I'd rather have my children studying on books, I'm old school maybe, a old fashioned, and practice
right.
outdoor activities
exactly.
that can help the same children
yes.
even interact socially with
yes.
with others and make them grow
yes.
better rather than staying touching the screen alone, like hypnotized on a 10-inch screen.
Yes.
But that's a personal opinion. You cannot stop progress, and it shouldn't be stopped. But obviously, when maybe I'm starting to grow a bit old now, I start to see things differently in a different way than I used to see them 20 years ago. I'm glad that Slovakia will always support Malta and the problems that we're facing regarding
yes.
migration. Right now, since Mare Nostrum and Italy is taking the whole bulk of the
yes.
migrants that are passing through the Mediterranean, so we had quite a large number of I don't know what. There is only one tragedies and mass murders that we have witnessed in the Mediterranean.
Yes,
for migrants being even thrown overboard and killed by smugglers. And that's something that should never happen. It is something that the European Union itself has to be present. Have to be present. I mean, if it wasn't for Italy, I think Malta would have to carry a burden much bigger than it's carrying
now.
I don't think this is a problem of Malta and of Italy only, or of the Mediterranean. It's a
yes.
European problem. And the faster we try to tackle it, and I think that the less problems maybe we're going to have. And we shouldn't just tackle it by giving more money. You don't just throw money at problems. But I think with more dialogue at European level, we should find a solution, or maybe we should mitigate, because it's very, very preposterous to say that we find a solution for migration, but at least we mitigated the problem of this human tragedy that we're witnessing here in our seas. I don't know if my colleagues here would like to be as smart as
Marlene. As you have pointed out yourself, the very existence of the European Union is at stake. And I think the next 4 to 5 years are going to be crucial. They're going to be the turning point. And what really matters to people most before they think of everything else is food on the table. It's jobs.
Yes.
It's dignity. So what I would like to know is, you're going to have the presidency at a very crucial time, like we are.
Yes.
So is there anything that you can tell us to reassure us that there's going to be a change in attitude towards going to the root of the problem of unemployment rather than going to the top or the peak of the problem of unemployment? And whatever is done at the peak of the problem is not reaching to the root of the problem, because I think that unless we really address the problem, especially of youth employment, the generation that's going to make Europe work or Europe flounder.
Yes.
Unless we do that, you, us, the Netherlands, Europe is going to, unfortunately, fail. And I cannot fathom what that means for the global economy, for the global community. So what I really would want to hear is what you have in mind, if you have thought about it, if you have plans, and how we can be of help to make the necessary changes happen in time to turn around where Europe is heading. We all know what UKIP achieved yesterday in Britain,
yes.
in a very small area, but that's very significant. So are we going to allow that to happen? Do we still believe in the European promise? How are we going to make it work? Because I believe it's now or never. And you, us, Netherlands, are going to be at a very difficult point in time, as you said. People are hiding us away as European representatives. And is that what we want? So we really have to know how we're going to go about changing the attitude, changing the perception of the people towards the European Union which has disowned them. We don't want that perception to increase and flourish, because it's very damaging. It will be more difficult to reverse the stronger the route it takes.
Absolutely. These are the most crucial issues, and the European Union is at the crossroad right now. I'm very much disturbed by the UK's attitude, which has all the signs of picking and choosing. They want to eat the cherries from the cake. Now the notion of not respecting the European Court on Human Rights rules would be the beginning of a dissolution of the European Union. We either respect our European institutions that we've created, or we don't. It's not possible for some to say yes and for the others to say no. And there are other issues. Of course, the way the UK is pushing to limit migration is not in the European spirit. That's clear. Because it's internal European migration. As I've said, for me, the crucial issue is the economy. Because if we start picking up, if the economy starts growing, there will be new jobs, there will be different atmosphere. For the last 5 years, the situation was very difficult. Now it looked like, 6 months ago, it looked like we are on the positive track. Now it doesn't look so optimistically, unfortunately. And there are unknowns, of course, the sanctions against Russia, the impact on the Ukrainian crisis. There will be huge bills to pay. And I think that the Ukrainians expect that the European Union will, if not fully, then definitely partly pay these bills, which, again, costs the money. So if there is no economic, visible economic growth, then I'm afraid that Europe's image will further deteriorate to the extent that it might really start leading towards disintegration, less integration rather than more integration.
Can I make another observation?
Sure.
It has been cited very often that if we wait for instance, the continent of Africa to have a resuscitation of its situation, then that would be a market for European products, for European consumer goods, etc. What we are having now, not just Africa, but we have the entire Middle East migrating towards Europe. So that market, if we really believed in the basic European principles of integration, of proper integration, where people are genuinely integrated and they can contribute to the economy, that market is coming to us.
Yes.
So what are your ideas? If we use, it's a tough word, but if we use this concept, this problem of immigration in our favor, we can turn the tables around if we use it properly. But the decisions have to be taken. They have to be taken at the higher echelons of,
yes,
of European institutions.
Absolutely.
But if we make use of this influx of the population and we have proper integration of the people, then we have a market which is here. Because, okay, we need to create jobs, but everybody is going to consume. So jobs will be created as a result of the consumption which is created. So if we orchestrate our efforts into making this, turning it into a positive thing, I think that is the way to look at it. We cannot fight against the reality. We have to acknowledge that reality and see how we're going to make it well for us. After all, the United States is made up of immigrants, and most of Europe is made up of immigrants too. So that works. How are we going to make this work now? And it's a fact that a lot of European countries are very underpopulated. The entire swathes of land have been abandoned, entire villages have been abandoned. How are we going to integrate what's coming in?
We don't have a concept of integration of migrants. We have a long history of migration, but we, right now, and you feel it better than I, because from the migration perspective, Slovakia is a transit country, and we don't really feel this as a problem, but we don't really know how to deal with it. We cannot limit it, we are fighting it, and we have not managed the integration of the migrants into our societies. And the fact that there are thousands of Western Europeans who are fighting against us on the side of ISIS, it's horrifying. So it is therefore very important that the new Commission defines real issues as their priorities. I am slightly optimistic when I see the composition of the Commission, because you have five former prime ministers, now it's four. You have 24 out of 28 who held a ministerial portfolio in their country. So these are not academics. These are supposed to be people, yes, who have dealt with practical issues. And Mr. Juncker himself, of course, has been a prime minister for 18 years. So he knows the stuff. And I really hope that they will be able to resist the
establishment status quo ideas.
Yes, yes, yes. It's called the Brussels bubble, or that feeling in the Commission that the commissioners come and go, but we stay because we are here forever. And the fact that it should be the commissioner who sets the agenda and the commission that turns it into the legal basis, and not the other way around. So this is extremely important. Extremely important. I think we as a member state should make sure that this will not happen, that the commissions will not be stolen by the apparatus. I mean, the College of Commissioners will not be eaten by the commission apparatus. As for our priorities, we definitely have no time nor intention to create academic virtual
questions.
Issues. We want to address issues that we feel are the most pertinent, and of course, economy, social situation, social cohesion, are on the top of the list of our priorities. But you know that when it comes to the priorities of the presidency, it very much derives from the program of the Commission and the Council's president, plus the current agenda. So we have 10-20% of the whole agenda, which is our national contribution. But it's important that we consult on it and make sure that it's not a formal presidency, but it's a presidency that is addressing the real issues.
Exactly. Thank you.
Ladies first.
Okay, then. Thank you. My first comment is the fact that I was going to say exactly what Marlene is saying. So exactly, it's something that that we feel very deeply about. And I would like to thank you also for the tangible answers that you gave us. At your introductory speech, you also made the comment that people do not relate anymore to the EU. They do not really feel that the EU is there to protect them, when in reality, it is the opposite. There are obviously issues which might be seen upon negatively, but as you rightly pointed out, there is a lot of positive in it all. I mean, it has been through the joining of the European Union that a number of new business ideas have been created. Our standards of living have bettered dramatically, but unfortunately, the positive message has not been driven home. It's not only in our country, it's not only in your country, but it is across Europe. So I definitely agree with you that at this particular point in time, you have a very tough task when it comes to dealing with the presidency, so that you try to change this image. As Marlene rightly pointed out, unemployment is one of the sore points currently at the moment, and just like as in the past, the EU was the brain behind instigating jobs. I mean, if we look at the way environment was looked upon a couple of years down the line, it was not looked upon as something that we should protect. Now we believe that it should be protected for the sake of being protected, but also because it is a means of generating more growth and as a means of generating more employment. So I cannot but stress the importance of, yes, as the country responsible for the presidency, in line and also hand in hand with the Commission, you have to be creative. And it will be also Malta's role then to continue in your parts. I also would like to welcome your invitation to Malta, so that experts and diplomats can also sit within your committees. For us, as Malta, it would definitely be an experience, and it would help us to prevent ourselves from doing certain mistakes which might be
Everybody
done.
Does.
And therefore, I would like also to ask you, so that we keep in contact one with the other, to make sure that as a country,
yes,
we do exploit this excellent offer that you have made to our country. So I would like to thank you both for answering our questions in a very open and frank manner, giving us tangible solutions, and also for making this very positive offer to us.
Thank you. We have to be practical, because there are so many practical problems we have to cope with. And therefore, I think it's only normal that we coordinate. And I can see that the example of my own country, Slovakia, is one of the most pro-EU countries in the European Union. It's like Malta, we joined 10 years ago, and it's obvious how much it has improved the quality of our life, how much it had pushed us forward. It brought new investments, new jobs. When we entered, we were at the 50% of the GDP average of European Union. Now we are at 75. So we had the highest GDP growth among all the 27 or 28 in last 10 years. And I put a special emphasis on using the 10th anniversary to present a study, a comprehensive study about what these 10 years of our membership meant for our society, for our economy. And we produced... We worked for maybe for 6 months on that document. We produced tens of figures that very clearly show how much it means for us, the membership. We presented it to the public, but with a rather limited impact. Because 10 years means that for a younger generation, it's normalcy. You always get used to good things, and you don't consider them good, you consider them normal. It was our generation which was fighting to get us into the European Union. They were already born in, or as far as they remember, we are always there. And they rather, thanks to the help with the media, of course, are focusing on the negative sides, on stories, on scandals. Unfortunately, that's also our reality. So, being very pro-EU, we had the lowest turnout at the European Parliament elections, and it's difficult to have a serious discussion about European issues in Slovakia. At least it's not negative. So when I was confronted with the fact that we only had 15% turnout, I said, okay, but at least all the parties we voted for are the standard political parties. So it's better to have low turnout, but with the solid quality, than to have high turnout, but producing like the Front National or the UKIP or these kind of politicians.
But the issue about that is that decisions taken in Brussels are not felt in the member states. Or most of the people don't feel it. They don't understand what decisions are taken. There's a lot of bureaucracy, and maybe what our day-to-day life, it's not influenced, or we don't realize that it's influenced by decisions taken at EU level. Maybe we should also market the European Union in a better way, in a more capillary way in all the countries and member states.
Both for our citizens, but for the outside world as well, because we spend hours discussing the text of our conclusions, fighting over commas, and the question is, what impact does it make? Whether it's could or should.
It can make a difference. As a lawyer, I can tell you it can make a difference, but people don't realize.
Yeah, it makes difference for us, but my question is how much difference it makes for those to whom this document
That's
is addressed.
That's what we should work on.
Yes, and the communication is terrible. I mean, with all the excellent people in Brussels working for the institutions, we've lost the ability to speak normal language so that people understand why the leaders met, what was agreed, and what is going to give to the citizens of Europe. So I think that's extremely important.
I think the difference is that here in Malta we have a huge turnout.
Yes.
But I believe that's because we, politicians, are close to the people even during elections. Maybe we campaign here by going to our districts, knocking on doors and meeting each and everyone when we can. That makes put the politician closer to the people. Campaigning for the EU, that doesn't happen, especially in big countries like Slovakia, where the population is much more bigger than ours. And that's, I think, is an advantage for us. But I think that's one tool how to really be close to the people when presenting politics, even at European level.
I agree.
I think that our last election was the last election in this country where it was a rivalry race between two traditional political parties. I think it was the last time, because we were 25 years under one party, then there was the voting in of a new movement, and the people put all their hope in it. Now, if we don't deliver now, and the European Union doesn't deliver now, traditional parties will suffer like they're suffering at the moment in the UK and in many other countries. So unless we really make the change now, it's bye-bye traditional parties in Malta and in most of Europe, as it's showing already, as it has shown in France, as it has shown in the Netherlands, as it has shown in Malta. If you look at the vote really well and analyze it really well, you will realize that even here it showed. But I will stop there.
Honourable Samud, because the clock is ticking, and I believe that your delegation has also a meeting with the minister after here.
Quite conscious of that fact, and actually I would not like to take so much of your time. But basically, I'm pleased to hear the way you have put forward a set of clusters with the aim of addressing as many economic topics as possible. And it is quite interesting because it is a reflection of the micro and the macro, Europe within the global world. And basically, this is one of the factors I believe in your presidency and even eventually our presidency will have to focus and target. Basically, I'm addressing the financial and actually the use of the sea in inverted commas. By financial, it is a known fact that following the financial disaster that not only Europe but the whole world, the ECB has introduced certain measures, basically. Yes. Which have brought about a lot of restrictions on the movement of currency. However, whether we like it or we don't, the nations, the countries that are more liquid are those outside the EU. With the problem now that we are being faced is that these restrictions are bringing in questions of how effective they are. All right? Yeah. There is agreement that one has to be careful vis-à-vis the origin of the funds, because that has always to be a top priority.
Yes.
But then I humbly believe and suggest that measures should be taken to lighten a bit the shift that we are using, because in this way we are holding back investors from coming back to Europe. And in that sense, I don't know, or I would like to inquire, what would be the Slovak presidency's stance in such an introduction of perhaps a lighter view. To continue with the second aspect, that would be, and you rightly so highlighted, is the sea. Perhaps we are more exposed to the sea than this Slovak Republic. And I would like to inquire whether your presidency will still be taking up the direction taken up both by Greece and even in the Italians, in that of exploiting more the sea, in the sense of investing more in aquaculture and other activities which are believed to create jobs coming from the sea. But having said that, then there crops up the question of environment. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know whether, in pursuing such an initiative already taken by other countries, whether it is the intention of your presidency of introducing a roadmap that would give an indication what is going to be the risk or else sacrificed when we come to environment vis-à-vis the blue initiative, as it is normally called. Thank you.
What's important for us and how we look at it is that we have introduced new rules which are more rigid as a result of the crisis. It is really important that we respect these rules, because one of the reasons of the financial and economic crisis was that we did have rules before, but they were by and large ignored. So it's extremely important that the Stability and Growth Pact and other documents, the 2-pack, 6-pack, that have been introduced, or the banking union instruments, that they are fully respected. We have to be flexible and using the space that they give us, but we in Slovakia are rather conservative when it comes to opening up these documents or going for the renegotiation of treaties. We believe that it would, under current environment, it would be it might create a negative effect from what we want to achieve. That's first thing. Second, in whatever policies we pursue, we have to think about economic competitiveness of Europe. Right now, there is a discussion about the energy and climate package. This is what is going to be on the agenda of the October European Council. We fear that this package, as it proposed by the Commission, is badly designed, because it will hurt our economy. It's good that you are putting Europe forward as a global standard setter when it comes to the curbing of the greenhouse gas emissions or the production of alternative renewable energy. But if a result would be that the industries are moving out of the European Union into countries where there are no these restrictions and limitations, then we have missed the target and we have damaged our economy. When I talk to the businesses, to exporters, which are in Slovakia, the foreign companies, I ask them, what's your biggest problem? They say, over-regulation coming from Brussels. So we must not become victims of our perfectionism. Or we are fighting against the tax havens. But if it's only limited to the European Union countries, that means that somebody else will be profiting from it. So it's either global or forget about it, because this is you are not solving this problem. So it is therefore important that we think about not only about figures which look good on paper, but about something which is helping the economy. And we have been through our transition, which was very painful. Only the healing of our banking sector costed us 12% of our GDP from our money, no external assistance. So therefore we are quite strict when it comes to calls to loosen the existing framework, because we are afraid that we might again lose what the discipline, and it might bring further inflation and all the negative consequences of all this. So we, in this regard, in this discussion, Slovakia is seen as part of this German group, like tough countries who are against the, you know, loosening up of the existing framework. We are saying, let's use what is at our disposal, be as flexible as positive, but within the existing framework.
Yes, just the last short comment.
I'll be very quick, Your Excellency. I'll make one statement and two questions. My statement is, we acknowledge the fact that you will be supporting equal burden sharing.
Yes.
That is a big commitment for our country. We unfortunately have heard too much about it on a European level. We've seen a lot of financial commitment coming, but then when it comes to truly sharing the responsibility, we have seen a bit less of that responsibility. So for us, your statement is a very, very important commitment to our country. And it is also important because your presidency will include also our presidency. So just as you have stated, that continuation is important if truly, we all know that 6 months is a short period, so extending the commitment to 1 year with your presidency, that would be, should leave more results. My two questions. First is about water management. You have stated that you have too much of water. Our situation is the opposite. We don't have any. And my question is whether you'll be focusing solely on flood relief, or will you also focus your efforts on water extraction or water conservation from the natural sea? And my other question would be about the budget of the presidency. This will be our first experience as a European member state. I imagine also yours. How will you deal with the budget? Do you think that the budget that you have assigned will be enough? And how will you ensure that the most important aspects will be covered, given that we both, Malta and Slovakia, will be undertaking the presidency for the first time?
Yes. So to your first remark, we believe in solidarity. We believe that solidarity is one of the key pillars of the European integration. And therefore, if one of us has a problem, everybody should bear the consequences of the problem. And there is an element of selfishness, because you are suffering from the migration from the south. We are suffering because of the sanctions against Russia. We are very much exposed there. And if the situation in Ukraine goes badly, we might be facing migration from there as well. So would we? That's why we also think about these possible consequences. And therefore, we are for a model that is based on the equal burden sharing. On water management, as I said, it's a prevention against floods and natural disasters, water as an economic asset, water management economy, sustainable development, clean water resources, and sea. So the practical use of water, management of water, because water is becoming more and more prominent issue, even a political one. So we are also going to propose, and that's our contribution, to start look at water as a political asset, in a way. Not a weapon, but as an asset. And to start the discussion about how to preserve the water for the future, how to project the situation with the water supply, because 50 years from now we might be facing a great difficulty. Slovakia is lucky when it comes to water. We are very rich. But we want to start this discussion. And finally, the presidency budget, it's extremely important, as I said. We have opted for a centralized model of presidency. That means only in the capital city of Bratislava, in the state-owned buildings, so that we save as much money as possible. We do not have the full calculations. We have calculated 15 million euros for the next year, and then there will be... It's also a bit a tactical game. We don't want to present the overall picture so that our public doesn't go mad about it. So we will go year by year. It's easier to digest. So next year will be 15. But we have to look into the fact that Your estimates speak about 40 million. Our estimates speak about 60 million euros. So I want to see where is the difference, because it will be more difficult for me to explain to our public how come we need 60 when Malta can manage with 40. And I definitely don't want to have the most expensive out of the three of residencies, because it would be... Yeah, so that's a very, very, I would say, urgent issue to address.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you here. I'm sure that the enthusiasm we share will do great things together for the presidency. Please, I love it.
If I might, if my papers are right, and you
need to be a yeah, I love it. Oh. It was a long time ago, but... Really? It was a long time ago, but... It was a pleasure. Enjoy your stay here. Thank you. Bye bye.
Sorry.